Welcome to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. This week we're going to continue our series of interviews recorded at the Center for Inquiry 2013 Summit last month here in Tacoma. We're talking with comedian Ian Harris. In the second part of the show, Becky and I will be joined by Dave, and we'll catch up on current events and maybe take a call or two. Ian Harris is a nationally touring comedian in the LA area, but is originally from the Bay Area. He was on several top 100 comedians list, ranking as high as number 25, before moving into writing and directing films and music videos. He recorded an hour-long special, Ian Harris, Live from the Apocalypse, on the auspicious date of December 21st, 2012. He is presently on the Evolution of Comedy Tour, which, at the time of this interview, is at Grit City Comedy in downtown Tacoma. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
And joining me on this interview is Becky, as usual, and Wes from the Atheist Nomad Podcast. How you doing?
Hello, doing good.
So, first question out of the gate. Doing comedy for a skeptics convention, how is that?
It has its ups and downs. This is what I do a lot of.
Okay.
Excuse me. But the crowds are really attentive and really polite, and they get everything, but a lot of times are skew a little older and skew a little socially awkward.
Yeah.
So a lot of times their response is not uproarious laughter, it's great point. Bravo.
I remember you saying, I enjoy the applause, but could you consider laughing, please?
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh.
No, but you can look out and see that everyone's enjoying it.
Yeah.
And they come up to you and go, oh, that's the funniest thing. It's like, but you've never been to a comedy club before, have you?
Yeah.
Okay, you can laugh. You know, I think a lot of people are afraid to get out of their, come out of their shell. You know, I mean, there's a good chunk of nerds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I'm myself included, that's fine. But, you know, that don't necessarily want people looking at them when you go, ha! And bust up laughing, so they're very reserved and very serious sometimes.
When you started talking like that, I was actually paying attention to, it's like, okay, I've been watching him, now I'm going to look at the crowd for a little while, and I was watching them stifle laughter, and I'm like, don't do that!
Yeah.
It's just like, that's not what this is for! And I'm also a little bit worried, because there's usually a lot of magicians at skeptics conventions, and I'm used to magicians and comedians being kind of again, so has that been a problem at all?
I don't have a problem with magicians. Jugglers, maybe. No, we have a rumble every month between I think a lot of comics see, you know, I mean, comics are conceited by nature. I think, you know, you have to be extremely insecure and at the same time extremely egotistical to do comedy, you know,
right.
Which sounds like a contradiction, but usually it stems from insecurity, and then you have to really be full of yourself to get up there and talk about how great you are or how horrible you are or whatever it is in front of a crowd and expect them to laugh and admire you. So I think comics hate every other form of entertainment when they feel threatened sometimes, but or if they feel it's not high art, you know, if they're juggling, oh, the guy's playing a guitar, or you know, and for me, I love magic. If it's not magicians, maybe, you know, I mean, you don't need to walk around in a rubber suit and have crazy hair and you don't have to have the magic eyes and mascara on to be a magician, but if you can like pull off some crazy sleight of hand stuff in front of, I love that. I love knowing a couple magic tricks just to mess with people, you know.
So as a skeptic or an atheist comic, comics aren't really known for being particularly reverent by any means. So is there something that's different in your comedy because you are an atheist or because you are a skeptic compared to your other comedic colleagues?
I think it's just that I focus specifically. I mean, okay, you think that most comics are skeptically minded. Most people tend to think that. I've had people say, oh, you're a skeptic comic. Aren't all comics skeptics? No, not at all. A lot of them aren't even remotely free thinking, but there are a much higher percentage of, I would say, non-believers or atheists in the comedy world because they're, thinkers. Most comics are thinking and philosophizing about things on a regular basis, so they usually end up in an area of non-belief, but that doesn't mean they do comedy based on that. There's a ton of really great comics that do 5-10 minutes of atheist jokes and then 50 minutes of relationship humor.
Yeah.
And I like to do everything and also that's focused around skepticism and try to make a few points. You know, that's just kind of what I enjoy doing.
So you're here at a skeptics convention and a humanist convention doing comedy. So you get a good crowd there. And then, you're going to be at Grit City.
Right.
And I know Tacoma Atheist is planning on making a big showing, and Tacoma's not a bad town for doing atheist comedy in. But, you know, if you happen to find yourself in Rapid City, South Dakota, right, or something like that, what's the acceptance like there?
You know, I try to not happen to find myself in Rapid City, South Dakota.
You're luckier than me.
Avoid it.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you what. It is. I have done Rapid City several times, but back when I wasn't doing specific comedy specific to this, for 14 years, I did just standard regular comedy. And I mean, I've always had this mindset, so I've always had some jokes, but I made sure they weren't too too negative or you know, calling anybody out. It was just kind of my observations about ghost shows or whatever, you know. And then I'd taken some time off. I had a daughter, and I wanted to raise her, you know, and not be gone on the road 50 weeks out of the year. So I stopped doing comedy full time. And when I came back to doing comedy a couple years ago, I did it because I wanted to do comedy, and I threw away my entire act except for two jokes. I threw away, you know, 15 years of writing, and said, I'm going to sit down at Starbucks and write down, or whatever the heck I was, and write an entirely new show based on stuff that I enjoy talking about. And I don't care if anybody else likes it, because I don't need to make a living right now. Whereas, you know, 10 years ago, I had to be on the road 40 weeks out of the year, or I didn't eat.
Yeah.
Now I do other stuff. So, you know, I can go for a week and just do shows that I want to do, self-produce shows, go to a theater, find a comedy club that does what I like, Grit City, mm-hmm, and be able to play to a crowd that's interested in hearing what I have to say. And if I go to a place and they say, well, you know, try to go back to impressions. And, you know, I had a guy one time tell me, but why don't you put on the clown nose tonight? These people aren't here to learn. And I said, no, how about if you don't want me here, I won't come back, but I'm not putting on the clown nose. You know, I'm sorry. That's just not what I do.
I say, to heck with the clown nose. You would look really excellent with a giant, like, carrot top kind of wig on you, but still,
you just did that.
I did. I went there.
Okay.
But anyways, is there any topics that you try and leave off the table as far as in the religiously minded?
No, I mean, I don't specifically leave anything off. I mean, there's nothing that I've gotten to said, oh, I can't do that. I'm not a shock comic. I'm not afraid of language. I'm not afraid of going there or whatever. But I don't specifically, I have a real issue with, like my least favorite type of comedy is shock comedy. Yet my favorite comedian is Doug Stanhope, who most people think of as a shock comic, but I don't think of him as a shock comic. He is an incredibly brilliant writer with incredibly smart things to say, and he happens to just not have a filter, and he'll say whatever the hell he wants to say. He's not trying to get you to go, oh, tee-hee-hee, he said masturbation. That's not what he's doing. He's not trying to get you to laugh at a word or at a concept. He's not trying to get gross to make you laugh. He says his point, and that's how he talks, and that's his experience, and it's genuine, and it's hilarious. So I never have a problem saying something. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of, with the Daniel Tosh thing about the can you do a rape joke and can you do this joke? I think do whatever you think is good, as long as it's true to you. Yeah. If it's forced and you're trying to be edgy and I'm going to do a rape joke, well, then you're an idiot. You know, I mean, just if you have a joke that it's genuine to you and it's funny, whether it's the cleanest, you know, something like Brian Regan would do, or it's something like, you know, Jim Jeffries or someone else would do, it does it to me. It's all fair game, as long as it's, you know, comes from you. And that's me, is I just like to talk about what I like to talk about. And if it comes across harsh, that's not my problem.
To compare it to the rest of this, my experience is this is a CFI, CSI, you know, these are all the old vanguard institutions of the free thought community. It's a very scholastic conference rather than convention approach to everything. And then, you know, they're talking about all the old history of the magazine for PsyCop and stuff like that. And they go, oh, here's our entertainment. And then you hop up there
Right.
It's like you're not doing it to shock,
right,
but you're talking about what you want to talk about, and I'm like, oh wow, that's a shift. How's this crowd going to handle it?
Yeah.
And what I was so enthused to discover is they were completely into it. They actually, I've been watching people come up to you and go, you were really good last night, which is not something I would expect from a conference like this.
It's funny. I actually asked right before I went up. I asked Jim Underdown. I said, oh man, you know, I forgot to ask. You know, if it was a corporate gig, it's like, you know, you can't even think the word you're going to get in trouble, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, there's a lot of older people and you know, it's a weird, you look at the audience and you would think these people are not going to, the first time you say the F word, they're going to run. But then you think, well, these are free thinkers. These are people who shouldn't be afraid of language. And normally when I think of people that are opposed to words, it's because of some sort of religion or something that tells them these are bad words. So you think, well, these people shouldn't have any restrictions on language, but there is that generation difference. And I asked, I said, what do you think it's okay for me to to do what I do. And Jim said, well, you know, my band, the Heathens, he's like, we have, you know, we say all kinds of stuff in our songs and they're listening to us tomorrow night. He said, so, and you're a comedian. He goes,
their bassist is actually, their stand-in bassist is one of our hosts. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's going to be weird.
So I think he was just using you as his litmus test for whether they have to alter their lyrics for the night.
Hey, yeah.
You
know,
one of the things though is I've actually, we did the Evolution of Comedy Tour and, you know, now I'm doing my own thing for the special that I have coming out. So I'm just kind of going on my own. But last year we did this thing, the Evolution of Comedy. And it was myself and a couple of comedian friends, Maurice Northup and Jason Ressler. And then Keith Lowell Jensen did a show with us in San Francisco. And it was just kind of a, you know, we called it free thought comedy or we used to call it intelligently designed humor. but it was, you know, when we did the very first show, we were in Tucson and we had 100.
Ouch.
No, actually, Tucson
it's a good
crowd. We couldn't be surprised at how liberal and, I mean,
Tucson is the Austin of Arizona.
Yes.
By all means. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. The two best shows I've had recently, Tucson and Flagstaff.
Oh,
I sold out a theater in Flagstaff. Oh,
I believe it.
Ago.
I would not expect Flagstaff, actually. It was,
but they have no comedy in that
town.
True. No comedy,
there.
College town. Yeah.
Yes. No, I love Flagstaff. I go up there every chance I got.
The funny thing about Tucson, though, is that we had 170 people there on our very first show. It was on a Sunday night. We didn't know how we were going to do. I think almost 100 of them came from the local skeptic atheist groups.
They brought out
a huge group. So, but the funny thing is, afterward, I went to the meetup page, and which is something you never do. Is, you know, it's like when you put a YouTube video up and some 12-year-old, this guy should be killed with a rake. Why? Because you didn't like my video, you know? So, and then you get angry about. You should never go back and look at stuff. That's what people keep telling me. But I can't. I have to look. And everyone was like, great show. Oh, it was awesome. This is great. We need more of this. And then one guy's like, this was garbage. And they said it was scientific. There was nothing science related in this. And it was nothing but a bunch of filth and garbage. And he was like one of the prominent skeptics there. And I'm like, filth and garbage? He said it was nothing but a bunch of raunchy sex jokes or whatever. I mean, you saw what I did last night. I'm like, what is this guy talking about?
Yeah.
I have one joke about a masturbating ghost. That's the only joke. what the heck is he talking about? And I couldn't for the life of me figure out what it was. And I emailed one of the guys and I said, what is this? And he was like, that's just his opinion. But I couldn't get over the fact that I'm like, I don't even know what it is he's talking about. That, what did he hate so much? What was so raunchy about what we did that we swear? Like, really? You're upset? You're free thought? You know,
well, it's just something that I've experienced with on occasion and not wholly representative, but if something is associated with atheism or with skepticism, then one expects it to be science oriented, as if people who are atheists and skeptics would never convene, would never congregate with other atheists and skeptics to celebrate something or enjoy something entertaining.
I think it's almost a little bit more, dare I say, darker than that. I think there's a lot of image consciousness in
highbrow.
The movement, because not just highbrow, but it must be highbrow and it must show everyone in a positive light. Like when I did the article about how I managed depression, I got like, why is a prominent atheist, whatever, talking about depression, that makes us look bad. Why are we talking about problems in the atheism community? That makes us look bad. Why are we enjoying comedy with F-bombs in them? That makes us look bad. And it's like, well, okay. Part of the reason I do Ask an Atheist is to show that we're not all college Ivy League professors. You know,
you're human.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. As some of the best comedy out there that I remember from the last few years was Jim Jefferies talking about the Bible. It always made me laugh my patootie off.
Yeah, not used to being on the radio, are you?
I'm not.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me because I think, I mean, I try to be, I actually have a bit of a complex, and sometimes it makes me think that I'm not funny because I try so hard to be original, make a point, to be highbrow, to be clever. I see so many comedians, especially after taking 5 years off, when you're in the mix of it, you see everybody, you watch the evolution of people coming up and you go, oh, this guy's going to be great, or she's incredible, she's this new comic that just started. Take 5 years off and you come back and I'm like, I don't know who any of these celebrities are. Like, I've never heard of, how is that guy, how does that guy have a TV show? I've never even heard of him, and I'm a comedian for, no, I took 5 years off.
Yeah.
But the stuff that I've noticed is comedy has changed, and a lot of the comics that are really killing it right now, to me, they're not very, they don't really, they don't say anything. They're doing a lot of, you know, what used to be alternative comedy was always this, a lot of the people were from the Bay Area where I came, they were ahead of me, like the Patton Oswalds and you know, that group started the alternative comedy and was supposed to be, you know, kind of edgy and different and conversational. And now I come back and alternative comedy is PowerPoint presentations and music, which would have been the height of hack, you know, but nowadays it's, you know, it's got people doing music and beatboxing and different types of stuff that's the alternative, you know, or playing music or strumming a guitar while they do bad impressions.
Sam's stuck on the PowerPoint presentation.
Give me Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is that's the other one, is I know there's at least, I'm not going to call out any names, they would know who they are, but I know of at least three very like top comics, like comics that people say, oh, these are the best guys out there, that are just doing Mitch Hedberg impressions.
Yeah.
I mean, I can name one that has had like three TV shows, and the first time I saw him, I literally thought he was doing an impression. I was like, this is an awesome impression. And people are like, he's not doing an impression. And I was like, ha ha, funny, but that's a great impression. They're like, he's not doing an impression. Come on. That's obviously a Mitch Hedberg impression.
Yeah.
No, it's not. And so that's the kind of stuff. But so my point is, I try to be so much that way that sometimes I think, am I lecturing or am I doing comedy? But then if I do one joke, you know, because all these same people that I look up to, you know, that I think, I go, wow, they, you know, yeah, they did 10 minutes of, and the other 50 minutes was relationship humor, you know? And it's, I don't want to do relationship humor. It's been overdone. It's been done to death. Yet these comedy gods, you know, the Louis C.K. and these people that, oh, this guy's genius. Oh, yeah. The jokes that are genius are genius. The other ones are, you know, taking a poop in an airplane bathroom. It's really not that big of a, it's not that genius. And I try to make everything on that level to where sometimes I think, I'm not funny. I'm just up here lecturing and people hate what I do. And the second I do something that goes down there, I go to the masturbating ghost or whatever, I feel so cheap. And I feel like everyone in the room here at a place like the CFI is judging me like, oh, yeah, he had to go there.
That's the thing. Is when your job the thing that you've taken on as something that's meaningful to you is to say why ghost hunting is stupid and stuff like that. I don't think it would occur to him, the masturbating ghost thing wouldn't really occur to him. And I think it's just that sort of context shift actually, it really rings with them. And I that's what, something I was noticing while paying attention to the crowd, I think, is there, like the one guy that we ended up talking to at the end of the night, who actually goes out undercover and debunks these things, seem to be kind of into that part of it. So. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll ask him about that.
I happen to enjoy the masturbating joke, the masturbating ghost joke, particularly in light of a story that we did about 6 months ago where the singer Kesha,
oh, yeah.
she's written, she has a song, and it's based on being inspired by when she was sleeping, and she was visited in her sleep by a non-corporeal being who had intimate relations with her. Oh. So ghost, the ghost itself is not the, you know, nice 24-year-old ghost. It's right. Some, you know, but finding nice 24-year-old singers.
Wow, I've never heard that. Is, I've actually heard stories. That is, I think that is a phenomenon of people who
ghost sex.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. I mean, because you know, there's the old one that the sleep paralysis. They were you're held down, and it's happened to me multiple times. Yeah. Yeah, where you wake up and you're paralyzed for a second, and then you sit up and you swear that something was holding you down and it flew off you. And you know, it's that every culture has its old hag syndrome in Sweden. And I guess if your brain is in that, you know, some people it's an evil, something evil that's holding you down, and other people it's holding you down and having sex with you, I guess. I mean, that's.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We'll continue our interview with comedian Ian Harris in a moment. Do you have an idea for a website but don't know how to get started? Are you tired of expensive hosting draining your budget dry? Archway Hosting can help. Archway's fully functional hosting service starts at $20 per year and includes hosting, databases, email, and much more. Have an idea for a website or application and don't know where to begin? Check out Archway. They also do web design and development. To get your online presence off to a great start, check out archwayhosting.com. That's ARCHWAY hosting.com.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you. If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran.
And we host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. We invite a rotating panel of our friends over to talk about science fiction, comic books, movies, horror, animation, professional wrestling, video games, and George freaking Lucas.
It's a warts and all look at popular geek culture, where we tip sacred cows and use profanity while arguing about children's entertainment.
Think of it as the McLaughlin Group for nerds.
Find us online at RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and we're continuing our interview with Ian Harris at the CFI 2013 Summit last month. So one of the original producers of the show is a guy by the name of Jeremy Whitman, who is a comedian and occasionally did some atheist type stuff. And every once in a while he'd do a set and he'd come down and it was kind of a weird crowd. And he would just go on material that I didn't think he would do in front of a crowd. And he goes, yeah, that was for me. And I'm like, okay, it was awesome. And we recently went on tour. And we went around the country. We stopped in Tucson, where they stole my clothes, my tools, and my energy drinks. Not the people who put on the show, but somebody who smashed and grabbed the car. And then we hit St. Louis, and I'm just like,
your brain's a little fried.
My brain's a little melty, and people might know, who listen to the show might notice that the St. Louis show is about half an hour longer than the other shows, because I'm just we're getting the notes together, and I'm like, I gotta do something I like. I've just been doing the same stuff for the last week. And so I put together an extra segment that was just me doing news stories that I wanted to cover. And I was like, I wasn't gonna pay attention to the audience. I wasn't gonna pay attention to what anybody else was doing. We're just gonna read it, go back and forth, talk about it. And that ended up being the best show on the tour, as far as I was concerned. I had my one applause line on that one. And it felt really good to be up there and not, like, you know, not following the formula, not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and writing for me. And that kind of resonated with me, because you were talking earlier about, you were doing more general comedy before, and you ended up in places like Rapid City. Now you're just like, what do I want to write? How does that feel differently, and how does that work differently?
You know, it took me to actually get a solid hour of material to where I was headlining. It took me 10 years, you know, of writing and doing this and whatever. And, you know, I was 13 years into it when I was really headlining and solid and had a killer 45 to an hour.
Right.
And then I wrote for this special. I sat down and wrote 90 minutes, performed it 30 times in a year. And so I did it 30 dates in 1 year, which normally I would do that in a month in the old days. So basically I did, you know, a couple days a month, wrote it just sitting in my room, typed it out, and literally typed it out, which I didn't used to ever do, but I would type out word for word, practice it, record it. And I ended up having to cut it way down and still did 85 minutes, which had to be edited again down to 70 minutes for the final special. And it's, my wife's like, this is hands down the best material you've ever written. And it's just because I'm passionate about it. And it's funny because, you know, in my earlier, not my earlier days, but around 2000 to 2003, I had moved to LA and I was really tired of the whole, I don't like the LA, the industry thing. And there was a lot of, you know, a lot of joke thieving going on. You'd see your jokes on sitcoms and you'd go to these places and you're like I headline, you know, national comedy clubs, and they'd be like, yeah, well, here you got to wait in line for 3 minutes. And then if you get past, the next week you can get a 5 minute. And maybe after 3 years, you'll get a spot and we'll pay you $20 for 10 minutes. You know, it was like this, I don't want to, but that's the game you play. I got so angry with it, and trying to get on new TV shows and getting rejected with these ridiculous things that, you know, well, you're just not camera friendly. What does that mean? I'm too ugly to do stand-up? How does this work? And so that I started ranting about the industry. So there's about 2-3 years where all I was doing was ranting about the industry. I'd just get up on stage, abandon my act, and I would just get angry. And it was worked really well for me. People were like, I was getting stage time, and people were like, oh, this guy's crazy. He'll say anything. I burned a lot of bridges. And but it was a moment where I just, you know, that kind of thing worked for me. But one of the things that set me off is one of these big club owners used to always say, what is your message? What are you trying to say when you're on stage? What's your point of view? And that's the big buzzword has always been point of view. And comics always go, oh, we hate point of view. My point of view is to make you laugh. I'm me. I do what I do. And it's funny. And that's all that should matter. Why do you want some pandering garbage? And the thing is that most of these club people that say point of view and that they don't understand what they mean themselves. But the funny thing is now that I'm doing what I'm doing, I realize that I have a point of view. And I realize that I now have that thing that I used to, I understand it now. And I'm still not, I still believe they never understood it. I think they was just a buzzword. What's your point of view? What's your message? I think they meant some pandering garbage. But now I'm like, oh, now I get it. I have a definite point of view that is not just me talking about my family and whatever. It's something, it's totally true to what I believe. And it makes it easier. It makes it so much better when you have that. And, you know, and it's not fabricated. It feels honest.
Yeah.
You know?
So you're here at Tacoma, but then I assume you're off to other places. Are you going back to LA or do you have some other shows coming up?
Sunday, I'm going to go up to Vancouver.
Oh.
Yes. So nice. I'm doing Friday, tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow here in Tacoma. And then Sunday, I'm going up to Vancouver and then I'm going to be home for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Very good.
Do you find that in general, the LA crowd or the Bay Area crowd versus, you know, it's still West Coast, but up here in Tacoma and Seattle area, is that kind of a different crowd?
The LA crowd is different than every crowd because there are no LA crowds. People don't go out to entertainment in LA for the most part. And when they do, they're so jaded and so, you know, there's so much industry there that they're critiquing or they're there to see one person and everybody else is just fluff until that person gets on stage so they can decide whether they like their look or whatever. So LA is a horrible, horrible place to do comedy. If you're a comedian, if you're trying to get a sitcom,
yeah,
it's the only place to do comedy. You have to do it so they can evaluate if your hair is proper for the sitcom or whatever it is. But as far as comedy audiences, it's rare that you find a good crowd in LA. San Francisco, on the other hand, I think they can be a little PC and a little judgmental, but one of the best, almost every comic I know, they love San Francisco. San Francisco breeds really great comics. I mean, so many of the people that I remember, you know, I basically started up there, and so many of the comics that were ahead of me are now, you know, the comics of the last 10 years that everyone talks about, and it breeds such a great, it's such a great environment for comedy, and the crowds up there are so educated that they have, you know, to comedy, not just educated in general, but they're comedy educated. So that's where they tape a lot of specials up there, and you hear over and over people talking about San Francisco, that's my favorite,
yeah,
that's my favorite club to go play, or that's my favorite city to go play, and that's where I'm going to tape my next special and this and that, because it's just a comedy savvy crowd. So
I'm one of the things that we often do to keep the lights on here at Ask an Atheist is we'll do comedy nights, and we'll line up usually local comedians and stuff like that. And I keep hearing, what I keep hearing from comedians is after the show is we talk and they go, yeah, there's material that I can't do because the crowd won't get it or because they won't be willing to go there with me, that I could just rock with this crowd. Like, I don't think there was anybody there that just went, whoa. And is that something that you've noticed as you're touring the conventions and conferences?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. The thing is that there's very few things that I can say at a convention like this that they don't get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, whether they fall on the floor laughing or whether they golf clap and compliment me later,
right,
is a different story. But they always get it. Whereas the exact opposite in comedy clubs. Like,
yeah.
I mean, in comedy clubs, I get people all the time where I'm like, why did they not laugh at that joke? And then I talk to people afterward and I realize they have no idea what I'm talking about. They completely missed the point of what the, you know, they didn't even understand it. And I was was like, well, it's hard to comprehend, because to me it seems like, you know, this is stuff that we talk about all the time. So this is it's not that far of a stretch or a reach. But your normal people, which is the problem with this, is what skepticism is about, in my opinion. Your normal people, your average people, don't think. Mm. And I don't mean they don't think about. They just, I don't know how many times I've been talking to somebody about something that we've talked about a million times, a Bigfoot or God or some, you know, a political, the abortion issue or whatever, and give somebody a very basic point, and they go, oh, I never thought about that. It's like, that's 101.
Yeah.
You've never thought about that. Wow. And that's your average person. They just don't, think about those kind of things that we probably think about on a daily basis. And so, yeah, so the crowds here, they get everything. The mainstream crowd, sometimes I have to explain it a little bit more, and then they usually enjoy it.
I've noticed that a lot, that, you know, your average person is just regurgitating points from other talking heads.
Yeah.
And
or Facebook memes, which have become facts now, I think is weird. Or headlines. People read headlines. I mean, I'm guilty of this myself sometimes, and I make a very conscious effort to not do this, but somebody posts something on Facebook. I mean, we all do this, and you post an article, and, you know, you have to click on it to actually read the article, right? You get the first paragraph, and you get, you know, Brad Pitt marries Angelina Jolie, whatever. That's what you get. And if you don't notice that it's The Onion, if you don't notice that it's some other fake thing, or it's a purposely misleading, you know, which they always do in the news, is coffee going to kill you? And then the answer is no.
No.
But the lead-in is always, your coffee might kill you. And then they come out, yes, if you drink 4,000 gallons of it in an hour, you'll die. Okay, next. You know, and they move on. So people just, did you hear that, you know, so-and-so did such and such? And you go, no, I saw that headline, but I read the article, and no, that's not what happened. If you had read the article, but you get these facts now that are on the internet. And, you know, I don't know how many times I've seen that overnight the FDA pushed through this Franken salmon and I'm like, overnight, that I saw that 2 years ago, and it's still overnight. The FDA slammed it through their process, and but that's a fact. I'll be talking to people and go, that's a fact that they put it through. I saw it. It's a fact. I saw a study on it. You mean you saw a Facebook meme? That's not a study. Sorry.
I'm looking for Franken salmon because I want to buy some. You know, yes. And you know, no, it's getting, can't find it.
It is a really good point though that you bring up about, you know, applying critical thinking to the things that we see just on as a regular matter of course from our friends and you know, on our Facebook feeds.
So yeah. Anyway, Ian Harris, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Next time you're in town, give us a little bit of a head start, and we'll plug a, you know, in,
yeah,
the lead
absolutely.
Up. So thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. When we come back from the break, I'll be live in the studio with Becky and Dave to talk about current events and maybe take a phone call or two.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
Out of the briny depths of the internet comes a comic book podcast so powerful it cannot be contained by a single continent. Mike and Paul save the universe.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Paul Root.
If you're an unsatisfied comics fan, we want to help you find better comics.
And if you've never picked up a comic before in your life, we want to help you find what could be your new favorite thing.
On Mike and Paul Save the Universe, we love the bejesus out of comics, and so should you.
Find us online at mikeandpaul.com.
Psst. Hey, I know that we all slip up sometimes, but not knowing your STD status at all, not a smart move. Did you know that STDs can even be transmitted through oral sex alone? Yeah. Worried yet? With STDHomeTestKit.com, everything you need is shipped to you, where you'll have results in the comfort of your own home in less than 10 minutes. Be certain of your status with STDHomeTestKit.com.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Welcome back! This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. It's been a very interesting day. I don't know if you follow us on Facebook at all, but there's been a lot of comments on Facebook about this new news story, and we're probably going to be talking about this for most of the rest of the hour. My name is Sam. With me is Becky. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Sam.
And Dave, once again, how are you?
Quite wonderful, thank you.
All right. Well, I'm doing somewhat less wonderful because, you know, those of you not in the Puget Sound area tend to think of those of us who live around here as, you know, hippy-dippy, granola-eating, whatever. And honestly, it's not really like that sometimes. And even here in the Pacific Northwest, we've got religious dominionists trying to shoehorn in on secular government, specifically here in Pierce County. A last-minute amendment to the Pierce County, Washington budget to be approved Tuesday includes a $7,000 donation to the Child Evangelism Fellowship. The Warrenton, Missouri organization has gained prominence for sponsoring after-school religious clubs. Local director Marlene Stull indicated the money would go towards renting space at local fairs to push God's love. Councilman Jim McCune, who telephoned the recipients to announce their windfall, claimed that the foundation is non-denominational, not a religious foundation, and that the money would not go towards religious items. Council attorney Susan Long explained Friday there was discussion about the legality of the donation, but a contract would have to be signed beforehand ensuring taxpayer dollars did not pay for an unconstitutional event. So, let's talk about this organization a little bit. We're doing a lot of research on this, and honestly, we heard about it this morning from our listeners, from listener Scott and listener Stacy. And if you guys have any more information or want to discuss this, we'd really like to hear from you. 253-584-1480. Let's talk about this organization.
Yeah, the Child Evangelism Fellowship.
Yeah.
This is, now when we talk about after-school religious clubs, these are the good news clubs type things that are being done in elementary schools where you have outside organizations that are using public schools as is legal, but directly after school is dismissed. So, you know, maybe you go until 2:30 p.m. with third grade, and then at 2:35, there's snack time and Bible study.
And it's not even 2:35. To me, this sort of skates legality is, and this is not supposition on my part. These are stories that we've heard. School ends at 2:30, and 2:30 and 5 seconds. All right, we're going to have snacks now. Those of you who hate God can leave. Does that sound like secular government to you?
And that's and also on top of that, they just encourage the sort of conforming nature of this. Like, yeah, any kids that do, okay, parents don't want you involved in this sort of club, then all right, you have the right to leave the classroom, but then they're going to say, yeah, all those kids, you need to go talk to them because they need to be saved.
Mm-hmm. Dave's exactly right. Really what these good news clubs teach is how to evangelize to your classroom peers,
yeah,
on the playground, saying, hey, don't you want to be in heaven with us? And really disturbing kids so greatly that they feel, you know, so sad that their non-believing classmates aren't going to be in the right heaven with them.
Right. The right? Do they believe in multiple heavens?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm assuming that they're evangelizing to some other kids that do have religious beliefs or that are
align with some other conception of heaven.
Right. And there is this, was it the person here locally who is Susan Long, who said that they're not a church organization?
Susan Long is actually the Pierce County Council attorney.
Okay.
And she says that the only way that this would be legal is if they signed an agreement beforehand saying that taxpayer dollars would go to something different.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking Marlene Stoll.
Yeah, Marlene Stoll's the one who actually tried to say, we are not pushing a church, we're pushing Jesus' love. That's legal. And
exactly so. And that is exactly the thinking that goes on here. This is a slippery slope. It is a slippery slope that is real. I mean, this is religious dominionism. It's the, you know, freedom of belief, but not freedom from belief kind of thing that they're talking about. And they talk about this as non-denominational evangelism, and they think that that's, you know, spread out enough and diffuse enough that it's not going to tick anybody off, you know, ignoring the fact that there are Jews and Muslims and, hey, a few atheists here in Pierce County.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is Pierce County, and the areas that this councilman, this council member comes from and serves, his name is Jim McCune, and it's not Tacoma proper, and it's some areas that maybe don't get a lot of attention, but it's Ashford and Eatonville, it's Elba and Elk Plain, Fredrickson, Graham, Hearts Lake, Clackamas, McKenna, Roy, and Spanaway.
Yeah. And that's all within a range of hearing this radio station, I believe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for those of you who listen online, we're at a radio station, Clay 1180 AM, here in Tacoma. And so we do like to, when something happens here in Pierce County, we like to pay attention to it. And this is big. We talk about stories like this all the time in other parts of the world.
And but here it is happening in our own backyard.
Right, here it is happening right here. There's another thing. This Jim McCune guy says some very interesting things on his website. We took a look, and we have his passion for civics was inspired by the vision our founding fathers had for this country. They appealed to the supreme judge of the world for wisdom to design our constitutional republic, thereby protecting our unalienable right to life, liberty, and property. He emphasizes his hope that our courts will return to seeking original intent when deciding law.
Yeah, good luck with those courts.
This is dominionist politics. This is that painting that I had as the background of my laptop with Jesus coming down from heaven holding the Constitution, bestowing it upon the founding fathers.
Yeah, this guy's right from the Sarah Palin and the Ted Cruz school of politics, where basically they're trying to say, it's like, we're going to change history. We're going to say Christianity is how this country was based, and any argument or evidence you bring up that says opposite, we're just going to ignore.
It's like that Christian quote unquote historian that comes up a lot.
David Barton.
It's another David Barton thing. So we have another call. This is Cheryl from Tacoma. How are you doing today?
Hi. Am I on?
How you doing?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay, great. It's another thing about this organization that you might want to make sure and check out is go on the Secretary of State's website and read the descriptions that they give for themselves. They are not non-denominational. They can probably try to get out of it by saying, well, the money won't be used to do these after-school programs or whatever. But the fact is that they're not non-denominational, and only 25% of their revenues goes toward program expenses. So where does the rest go? I'm really interested in finding out McCune's relationship with this group, if any.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And that's something we discovered as well, is that only 25% of monies donated to this organization goes towards spreading their religious dogma, which I guess...
Which is their charity. There is no accounting for what the other 75% goes to, presumably administrative costs of some sort.
So even for the category that they're in, they're a bad charity.
And now, Dave, you had found that figure, and it was for the Clallam County...
Yes, I was looking up these numbers. I found a link that Stacy posted on the original article, and it was not for the Pierce County chapter of CEF. It's actually for the Clallam County chapter, and so I started looking for the numbers for the Pierce County chapter, and I couldn't find them. They are not registered with the state. They are only registered with the county, and the county doesn't have spending numbers like showing exactly where the money's going. It only has the number showing how much money is coming in. So I can't say for sure that the local chapter is only spending 25% of their money. But
okay, fair enough. fair enough. I understand that with any charity or public work, there's overhead costs, and those don't go to those don't count as actual charity work that the organization is doing. 75% is ridiculous, but honestly, I don't care if it's 75%. I don't care if it's 15%. I don't care if it's 120%. This is an organization whose sole purpose is to go into churches and teach people. Go into schools, I'm sorry, and basically turn schools into churches and to turn schools into religious conversion factories.
Well, they got it into the amendment by saying it's part of an anti-youth violence thing or whatever. What I would ask and what I'm planning to ask the council when I finally finish my letter to them is there any data that these sort of programs actually make any kind of a dent in at-risk youth violence or anything like that? Because I don't think anybody can show that, and how they can justify spending $7,000 taxpayer money for something that's just like, you know, someone's bright idea when there's actual proven programs that could go to that, you know, purpose.
Yeah,
I think you bring up a really good point. And the other point that you brought up that I think is really good to look at is McCune's relationship with this organization.
Yeah, that's something that we're still looking into, or that people online are still looking into. You know, there's a lot. This is a very new story. It's still evolving, which is why I'm glad for these phone calls. But
I tweeted to the reporter that originally broke that story and asked him, you know, do you have any idea what the McCune's relationship is with this CDM or CES, and he hasn't tweeted back yet, but it might give him a seed of an idea in his mind. Hey, this might be something, you know, to work up here.
Well, I think what they're betting on in the case of whether this is a youth anti-violence campaign is something that we talk about in Ask an Atheist, but maybe we haven't mentioned it recently, is this is religious privilege. Is that, you know, because we do not live in a Christian nation, but we do live in a nation with a Christian substrate. Most people in the United States are Christian. That is a fact. And people have a tendency to think that religion, just because it's religion, makes people less violent. Now, this is an incredible this is an incredible cognitive dissonance, because a lot of these same people will talk about the Crusades, will talk about, you know, Muslim terrorism and stuff like that, but they tend to think that just because it's religious, it somehow calms people down, completely ignoring the violence that evangelism can bring.
Right. And, you know, speaking to that, not only are they not just Christian, which is bad enough, because that insults all the many other faiths that we have in Pierce County, but when you look at their description, they say that their mission is to get little children into Bible-believing fellowships for discipleship. Now, I don't know what their definition of Bible-believing fellowships is, but I have a sneaking suspicion that it wouldn't include a lot of the Catholic, the Lutheran, the Episcopalian, the Methodist churches and everything. I have a feeling it's a very narrow band of, you know, maybe Assemblies of God and things like that. So really, really it is, I mean, far from non-denominational.
Yeah,
and even if it is that inclusive, it's still not something that our government should be funding. That's
right.
You know, all of that is important to talk about, but beside the point that our county commission should not be giving money to this organization for any reason.
So, Cheryl, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Yeah, those of you out there who may think that this isn't such a bad idea, and I imagine there might be some listening today, given what's going on, let me pose something for you. Imagine that if the city of Tacoma gave me $1,500 to go to Lincoln High School and to take your children and to go into a room and for an hour tell them about how terrible you are for believing in God, how your morality is bankrupt, how they're doing nothing but harm, you are doing nothing but harm to the earth, and how dogma and religion poisons everything. Is that something you would like? Is that something you want in schools?
But Sam, wouldn't it reduce violence?
I think it would. I think if we had less religion, we would have less violence. That is my opinion. And actually, I have some facts we could talk about someday. But that is my opinion. That is what everything that I told you, I'm shading it the darkest I can. I'm a humanist. I think people are good. I think even religious believers can be very good people, and I think most of them are. But I think religion does poison everything. I think dogma is one of the most painful forces that this planet faces. I would love to go to a high school and tell people that. I would love to have that opportunity. But you know what? That's not legal.
Yeah,
that's not how this works.
And I 100% agree with you on all that, and I do not want the government giving you money to do that, because
yeah.
that's not their job.
Here's the thing. The freedom from religion, freedom of religion, the concept of a secular government protects me, but it also protects you. It protects the masses, you know, it protects the people in the majority and the people in the minority. The whole idea of not having a state religion means we are free to think our own things, to believe what we believe or to choose not to believe. It's incredibly important. We have another call. Oh, hey, it's Stacey from Tacoma. She's one of the people who got us a lot of information about this. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. So what do you have for us?
Well, you know, I want to say that you were just using the word protect, and I think that's something that we really need to focus on. We need to protect these children from this type of activity in our public schools and even beyond. The website related to this organization, it has a page called Why Does God Allow Bad Things to Happen to Christians? And it's a three-bullet-point little, you know, couple-paragraph item. But one of them, it says, God may use suffering to show you his love and kindness and cause others to praise him.
Yeah.
It also says, God may use suffering to help your faith grow. You need to remember God's promise during bad times and keep on trusting him. Tell that to the child who's being molested, raped, starved, abused. Tell that to the abused woman. I mean, this to me is just absolutely unbelievable.
Right. Just replace the word God with husband, and how does that sit with people? It's
exactly.
It's a ridiculous concept.
I do want to defend the two Democrats on the Pierce County Council. I don't know if you're aware. It's a supermajority conservative council, 5 Republicans,
yeah.
2 Democrats. The two Democrats apparently tried to basically, they objected. They tried to obstruct that amendment, but failed. There's very little that they can do. But, you know, I'm thankful that they tried, and I hope that this Tuesday that many people will attempt and succeed in getting that abolished from the budget. It's just wrong.
Yeah, and we will be there. We've already talked about it. We are going to be there. We are going to have our voice heard.
Let's get that information out right now. So, the Pierce County Council will hold its final hearing on this budget amendment this Tuesday, November 19th at 3 p.m. at the County City Building, 10th floor, room 1046 on 930 Tacoma Avenue South here in Tacoma. You can call them at 253-798-7777, and you can email comments at this website, tinyurl.com/contactpccouncil. I will have all of these links on the website. I'll be posting them on Facebook. I'm going to spread this information far and wide. We need to make a showing here. This is the atheism, the free thought community here in Tacoma is not small. We are a growing community, and we need to make ourselves heard.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah. So, are you planning on being there on Tuesday?
I do hope to be. If everything goes my way, I will be there with bells on.
Okay, fantastic. And honestly, I good time to this slip as in as any. We're having a post show at a new location today. Where are we, Becky?
We are at Farelli's on 6th Avenue. It's at the intersection of Union and 6th, and it is an all-ages establishment. We'll be in the family section. There's also a bar dining section as well. And we'd love to see as many listeners come on out and talk about this, talk about other stuff, talk about stuff unrelated to atheism. And we'll be there 5 to 8 p.m.
Thank you very much for your call, Stacey.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. This is incredible. This is the thing about Pierce County is Tacoma is a fairly, as we've talked about before, Tacoma goes fairly blue. The rest of Pierce County doesn't. So you have this weird split like you have in any other place with an urban area in it. It's a pretty standard split that you get in American politics here just as anywhere else.
Well, and one of the crazy things about this whole idea of this was really snuck into the budget. I believe it was Scott was saying he contacted his own representative, and his representative said he'd never heard of this. Like,
yeah.
He did not know this was happening, so he was going to look into it. So that means other members of the council are unaware that this is being slipped into the budget. So
right, but here's the... It's ridiculous, and we need to do something about this, and this needs to stop.
I do believe that Americans United for the Separation of Church and State may have already weighed in on this. I can't imagine that if this goes through, the Freedom From Religion Foundation won't be all over this as well. Perhaps American Atheists and the other lobbying arms and legal arms of our different organizations.
I don't know if they're interested yet, but I know I will be doing everything I can to make sure that they get interested. I mean, this is my tax dollars. This is our tax dollars. We're paying for this. me, the producer of Ask an Atheist, my money, you know, a very small percentage of it, maybe 2 or 3 cents, whatever, but my tax money is being spent to tell people that I am going to burn in hellfire forever. That's what tax money is going for, that specifically, to tell me that I'm a bad person? Really?
I guess so. Well, hopefully not. Tuesday, 3 p.m., we'll hopefully
Tuesday,
turn that around.
Yeah, Tuesday, 3 p.m. This is incredibly important. It's evolving quickly. I'll probably do some short podcasts throughout the week as we discover more information. It's a very high school heavy episode because our next story, which we should talk about very quickly. Texas High School welcomes misogynist Christian speaker for assembly. Richardson High School in Dallas, Texas invited motivational speaker and Christian author James Lookadoo to speak to students on Wednesday. Lookadoo, who has written books and co-hosts a website on religious rules for dating, promotes adherence to strict gender roles. The school reports that the assembly was optional, though some students claim they were not informed they didn't have to attend. Offended students walked out of the assembly, and some also took to Twitter to speak out against Lookadoo, whose advice included girls shutting up and being soft if they want to be dateable. Some parents, who were not informed of the event beforehand, complained to the administration about the content. So, this is what it sounds like when they strip the religion out of it. Can you imagine what it sounds like when the religion is left in?
And one of the things about this story that I find fascinating, I think we have to give some credit to Mr. Lookadoo, that he was told, because he is a Christian motivational speaker, he writes a website about how to have relationships the godly way, quote-unquote, and he was told, you can't talk about God, you can't talk about religion, and he didn't. He never argued
well,
that.
Congratulations, he never tried to push it. He understands what an amendment is.
But, you know, how many times have we heard the story where people didn't know where that line was?
Yeah, and so, but that's like asking that I get a stand-up applause for not doing heroin to it. It's just, that's not how the world works.
But the frustrating part is that even when he takes all, as you said, he takes all the religion out of it, you're left with this misogynist, hateful, gender-stereotyped speech that offended the students to the point that they're going on Twitter and screaming, maybe next we'll bring Richie Incognito to talk to us.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is really prominent in a lot of places where these are the kinds of viewpoints on things like dating and relationships and sexual behaviors. And even if you don't attribute it to God, that is the root. That is the root of your message. There is no other, there's no other construct that would cause you to be a motivational speaker, Christian on your website and then non-Christian in the schools to be able to have you uphold these horrible, horrible ideals.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And like I said, this is what it sounds like when religion is taken out of these speakers, what happens when they leave it in. This is Ask an Atheist. That's all the time we've got for today. Give us a voicemail at 206-420-0997. Email us at questions@askanatheist.tv or visit our website at askanatheist.tv. Like I said, we'll be talking about this thing in Pierce County throughout the rest of the week at our website. See you guys at Pirelli's, otherwise next week.